Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
All right, let me welcome everyone to the room. My name's John Darash. I'm from New York, and this is New York Liberty Alliance, but we are opening up for what we're doing in New York could be done anywhere across the country. So we do have people from out of state here. I see we have people from Florida, Jersey, quite a few from New York, of course, and Montana. And there's some other people, I'm not sure exactly where they're coming in from. But let me start off to kind of give an idea of what we're planning to do here and where we're heading to with this particular room. We have a website, for those who don't know, it's New York Committee Men, MEN.org. And on that website, it pretty much talks about pretty much everything we are doing. And we're looking not only to take back the political process to the people, but we're also looking to take back the judicial process. And, you know, it sounds like a pretty big task and something that might be very difficult to do. But really, we've discovered the Achilles heel here of the enemy, and the enemy being both the Democratic and the Republican Party. And for that matter, all political parties, because all political parties have been robbed from the people. And they're controlled by just a few people, the bosses of the party. And we heard some discussion early on when we opened the room up. People were talking about the different things going on in their areas, their counties, and how things are corrupt. And what I heard is really nothing. It's far worse than that. The corruption is so extreme and so deep. The court system is totally corrupt. It's not if you're going to go up against the state, you know, any kind of an agency, municipality, up against a judge or any of those people, you're going to be met with 100% corruption. The status quo is what they're going to do, and that's how they're going to rule, and it's really tough fighting the battles down there. But we do have some hope up on the appellate level, which we'll get into that tonight. We have so much to share that definitely we cannot possibly share it in one call. So I kind of want to give an overview, and then we'll open up for some conversations. And then as time goes on, maybe tonight we'll focus in on one subject. But as time goes on, we'll look at, you know, the whole project that we're involved with. Let me start off with, we had a meeting here in New York up in Dutchess County yesterday evening, and we called it reset, I think, you know, resetting our system here. And what are we going to do now, where we're heading, what's most important? And I just want to quickly read through the list of things that people have brought up. People brought up certain issues. The Second Amendment, they brought up the border, education, problem with the education. Voter fraud. I mean, nobody believes really that this guy was really elected, do they? Voter fraud. They talked about endorsing candidates, and of course the candidates that they, you know, we want to endorse would be constitutionalists, and they have to be open. You know, they openly talk about the Constitution. The problems with the media and all the propaganda. Problems with campaign fundings. We're losing our freedom. How are we going to protect that? How are we going to stop the loss of our freedom and our liberty? We have a problem with the UN and Agenda 21. America is divided, and taxes and problems with the Social Security, and so on. But those were some of the major problems. And there are so many problems in our country, so many problems in our states, because we really have to focus in our states. If we want to save our country, we have to save the states, because, you know, the federal government is lost. It's totally out of control. And if you could bring your state under control and others can bring their states under control, then we can bring the federal government under control, because the states will control them as long as we control the states. So we really have to be working here in our here in our own states. You know, it seems so huge. There's so many problems, and this is just the iceberg of some of the things I just touched about, you know, talked about a minute ago, this list. It's just the tip of the iceberg, and it's too overwhelming. If we try to solve these problems one at a time, we'll never do it. And they're always adding things, and they're always taking more and more liberties away. So I know as for myself, I've been looking for years for a solution, and over the past couple of years, we have found a solution, and it's a very powerful solution, and again, we have found the Achilles heels of these people, the enemy. Recently, we also found that we can also salvage our judicial system and bring it back and give it back to the people also. So we have a plan to do both of those things, the political process and the judicial process. You know, it doesn't take, we don't need 100% of the people. We don't need 50% of the people. You know, revolutions are started usually with less than 1% of the people. So it only takes a handful of people. You know, I was looking back in history, and, you know, we really have to start off with God. If we're going to want to have liberty and freedom, we have to first acknowledge God, because the task is so big and so huge. Unless God is really working on our behalf and blessing us with liberty, we're not going to have it. And our founding fathers knew this, and you know, anybody who, even our judicial system was built on God. As a matter of fact, the word justice, okay, the word justice is synonymous with oh goodness, what's the word? With virtue. And in order to understand virtue, you're led to the Bible, and virtue flows out from God. It's a gift given to man from God, and so in order to have justice, you have to have virtue. So it has to start off with God. We're not going to get into preaching the Bible or anything here, and maybe in the future, maybe we'll have some personal Bible studies if people want to join in, and we'll do something privately. But I would like to say, if we're going to save our country and we're going to do the right thing, everybody has to go into their personal prayer closets, talk to God, and make their peace with God, and pray for mercy, because we need that. That's the only way we're going to really get saved. Meanwhile, you know, we as a people, we just have to do the right thing and go through the doors that open to us. And we found a lot of doors that open to us. You know, and again, it doesn't take a lot of people. You know, 40 men changed the world when they penned the Bible, and they gave us hope, of course, through God. 12 men changed the world, and they gave us virtue through Christ. 25 men changed the world, and they gave us justice through the Magna Carta. 56 men changed the world, and they gave us liberty through the Declaration of Independence. So we have a handful of people that were able to change the world. You know, we too are a handful of people. Here in New York, I happen to know that we have just about 150 elected committeemen in the entire state of New York, and they're all us. All the rest of the committeemen in the state of New York are not elected. They appear to be elected. They think they're elected. They talk as if they're elected, but they're not elected. They're a facade no different than that of the Federal Reserve. And when we went to court, we went to court to try to bring back the elected committeeman, because the Board of Election here in New York would not recognize the title of committeeman. They look at the title called member of the county committee. And that title is mentioned some 6 or 8 times in our law here in New York State. And hang on a minute. It's mentioned about, you know, 6 or so times in our law here, election law here in New York State. And when we went to court, we thought we were going to have to prove to the court first that the committeemen were not elected. And as we did our research, we came to realize that the appellate court, the Court of Appeals, know perfectly well that there are no elected committeemen in the entire state of New York. They know that even the executive committee here in New York is not elected. And so half of our battle was already won when we went to court. We've done two lawsuits, and both of them are still running. We sued the New York State Board of Election in 2011. And as a matter of fact, we had to go to the appellate court because they destroyed us. They didn't want us to come through the trial court. They did all kinds of criminal activities just to keep us out. And so we went to the appellate court. We filed an appeal, And matter of fact, we're going to be heard on that appeal on January 7th. We just recently got that date for anyone interested. We're going to be looking for as much support as possible to come up to that courthouse on that day. The nice thing, I think it's at 1 o'clock, so that helps quite a bit. Last time we filled the courthouse, but it was like at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's real tough, especially for people traveling from further away places in New York. And we had some people that came to join our case on numerous occasions, travel 6 hours to get there just to support us. And so we need that support because we want the judges to see, you know, this is not just a couple of people suing the New York State Board of Election. This is the people of New York. They're sick and tired and we want our country back. But in any event, January 7th, I'll double check that and I will post it up on the website for sure, whatever the date is. But I'm pretty sure it's January 7th and I believe it's at 1 p.m. And I'll put the details up on our website, newyorkcommittymen.org. Now, we also filed a lawsuit this past June, again, against the New York State Board of Election for new violations. We got mugged again this year, and they refused to recognize our petitions, or they changed our titles from an elected committeeman to a town committeeman, which is the title of member of the county committee. And it's not an elected position. They are nominated at the primary election. The law is clear on this. And they're elected at a private meeting by their party members. So they really don't have any authority. How that happened, we know how that happened. We went back in history to see how we got here. We did discover that. We do have that information up on our website. And we do give presentations concerning that. We've been traveling the state, giving presentations on the committee man and how we got where we're at and how we're going to save the process and bring it back to the people. We're also giving presentations on common law and how to get into the court system without a lawyer and actually win. Because if you're going to fight the state, you're going to fight a municipality, you're going to fight a lower court, you're going to fight a judge, you most definitely will lose if you have a lawyer in that case. You have to do it yourself. And this is something we should have been taught in school. They have robbed us of our liberty. They've taken the principles of liberty and they've hidden them from us. They've robbed it and taken it out of our educational system. You have to be a priest, so to speak, in order to get understanding and knowledge on how to run through just the procedure to get into court. And we've been blessed enough to be able to have found a place that has taught us how to get work through the procedures, and we're trying to bring that information to everyone. And that works in any state, by the way. We also learn common law, which we have free up on our website. But they have robbed us. They have robbed us they've robbed us of our religion, too. There's a lot of problems in the churches today, in all denominations, and I see it everywhere. They've robbed us of our judicial system, the judicial process, and they robbed us of our political process, the right to rule our destiny. So they've taken these things away from us, and they've hidden them, and they haven't taught us. They've taken control of our educational system, and our children are not learning these things. And they also have mass hypnotized us to really run away from these things. I mean, when people bring up religion, they bring up politics, or they bring up talking about what's going on in the Supreme Court or going into courts as far as law is concerned, people run away from that because they, first of all, they're ignorant to it. They don't know how to deal with a lot of these conversations. So people have learned when it comes to religion to go get themselves a priest. When it comes to justice, they've learned to go get a lawyer. And when it comes to ruling ourselves, they go get themselves a party. And then they vote that party line. We've been trained that way. Even the last so many years now that I've been really trying to figure out who am I going to vote for, it's hard to figure out who these people are and what they're running for and what they believe. And I've established a strategy of whoever's in is going out. If it's a Republican in, I'm going for the Democrat. There's a Democrat in, I'm going for the Republican. And, of course, if there's an independent, I'll vote for that person instead of Republican or Democrat. And even though I'm registered in one of the two major parties myself. But the parties aren't the solution. The parties are the problem. And one of the main problems You know, we don't have a problem with our Constitution. We have a problem that needs to be fixed. The Constitution doesn't need to be fixed, and it doesn't need to be reinstated either. The people need to be fixed. The people need to be reinstated. And when people start to think free and then they start to act that with their thinking, they act free, that's when they'll be free. And when enough people do that, that's when we will take our country back. Until then, we're not going to do it. We think that through the committee man process, we're using the judicial system to take the committee man process back here in New York. And once we get the process back, we'll take control of our politicians. You know, these politicians, they obey. The Republican Party politicians obey the Republican Party. The Democratic politicians, they obey the Democratic Party. And so whatever they're told, they do. If they want them to vote for a certain thing, the party tells them they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And so if we really want to change, we have to change the party because the party is not doing the right thing. You know, Robert Schultz, he lives here in New York, and he's been very active in the freedom movement, and he started We the People, and he's also the guy that put the Continental Congress together that met in 2009. And a lot of people still don't know that that has happened, that the Continental Congress has met in 2009. But in any event, he's been suing the Board of Election for years, numerous times. He's been through the appellate system, and he just keeps falling short of the mark on that particular case. And we discovered recently why he's falling short of the mark. It's because he's suing the wrong people. He's suing the New York State Board of Election when he should be suing the two parties. Because the reason why we have votes being counted, and Republicans and Democrats don't know this, the reason we have votes being counted by machines, the reason why we have people elected that have not been elected, you know, with all of this voter fraud going on, is because of the Republican and the Democratic parties, because it is an agreement between the two parties to shop this out to the large elite corporations like Diebold, for instance. I know one name is Diebold. There's a couple of them out there. And they contract out to them to do the electronic counting for us. When it's their job, but actually they're not elected anyway, so it's not even their job to count it. It's the job of the committee man to count the votes. But again, that's a whole other story. We don't want to get too deep into that, but we're betrayed. And when people think that they're going to go to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party and they're going to work together to get things fixed, it's not going to happen. Brutally honest with everyone, I truly believe it didn't matter who won this election. Maybe we're better off with Obama. Maybe more people are waking up because Obama's in there. I don't know that it would have been any better with the other guy. And of course, the Republican Party has done everything they could to destroy Ron Paul and to destroy Gary Johnson. And these are the guys talking about the Constitution. So this is what we're getting. But in any event, just to give a quick overview of the problems in New York concerning the elected committeemen, we're going through the court system. And once we achieve what we're looking to get, we then, 150 people, meaning we then, and those 150 people are all part of liberty groups spread throughout the state of New York, we then will then join we will then take control of both parties. Back on June 2nd in 2012, this year, we had a committeeman convention, and we invited all the elected committeemen, those that could make it. We had about 40 or 50 people there. Those that could make it came, and we rewrote the rules for the state of New York. We put together a number of things. The important things we put together was rules, and we also put a resolution together, and which when we take power, we're going to deliver on to both houses here in New York to take control of the legislature. But in these rules, we stripped the power away from the county chairman, because right now the county chairman is the god of the county, and the state chairman is the god of the state. At least in their party. And these two parties are working together against the people. They may not realize it. You know, everybody's compartmentalized, so they may not realize this. But nevertheless, they work for the same boss, and it certainly isn't the people. So anyway, these people that are running this party, they're totally out of control. Excuse me, a minute. I'm busy right now. Yeah, these people are totally out of control, and these are the people, they make all the decisions. And actually, there's one county in New York, but maybe more than this. I could tell you a story about a lot of counties. One county in New York, it's Sullivan County. That individual is directly appointed from someone up on the state level. The state chairman appoints that individual. Actually, the state chairman ultimately appoints all of them. But in Sullivan County, they don't even run the papers to make to hide their fraud, to make it look like they're elected. That guy in Sullivan County actually handpicks every single committeeman. So if you want to become a committeeman in Sullivan County, you got to go kiss his ring. And then, of course, you got to do his will. If you don't do his will, you're out of here. And that's the way it is in every county anyway. It's just that that is a little more blatant and open in that particular county, Sullivan County. But anyway, like I said, there was about 50 of us, or just under 50 people, that came to our meeting out in Kingston for New York committeemen. And we were all sworn in. So we became the very first, the first 40 or 50 committeemen in two parties, Republican and Democrat, the first elected committeemen since at least 1949 or 48, because that's as far back as we're able to trace when the court cases started concerning the committeemen. So it probably went back further, because before that was the war, and people probably weren't paying too much attention. And before that, there was the Depression, and people probably weren't paying too much attention. And they actually came in and subverted this whole system, we discovered in 1911. Okay, got it. In 1911. And so with this subversion of the law here in New York State, and the committeeman, over a period of time, they took control of the process by changing the titles, and everybody therefore became nominated and not elected. And the party of bosses rose to the power structure, and then they took half the counties in this state, and they put them half on an even year election. It appears like it's an even year election. Remember, it's a nomination at the primary election for these town committeemen. They're not elected then. And they're elected at a party meeting later by the party bosses. And that's why they can have a rule that, if you go up against the party, they can throw you out. If you were elected, they couldn't throw you out. But anyway, they've taken total control. They've oscillated the power where half the counties come in on an odd year, the other half of the counties come in on the even year. And the even year people are there to meet the people coming in on the odd year and to bring all the leaders back into control and set them back in place. It's the same people every year, year in and year out, every 2 years, whether it's even or odd. You get the same leaders, the same criminals still doing the same things, and they've got tremendous amounts of power, and they're making tremendous amounts of money with all kinds of criminal activities because there's a lot of power in the political process once it's being abused. And so anyway, what we did is we made the rules. One of the most important things we did at this meeting was we created a set of rules for both the Republican and the Democratic parties. And we made these rules so strong to not permit any county chairman to have any more power than anybody else sitting on a committee. Same thing with a town chairman or even the state chairman. They are the ambassadors to the committee that they sit on. Nothing more and nothing less, just ambassadors. They're to do the will of the committee, not the will of the chairman, not the will of the boss, not the will of God that they think that they are. And so we set that up and laid that out pretty clear. And so the committee makes the decision as a whole. And once they decide what they're going to do, then they send the ambassador, the chairman, to go do what has to be done, make the corrections with the politicians or whatever the case may be. We then took these rules and we made it almost as impossible to change as the Constitution. We require that they have to have at least half of all of the committee men to meet in one place in New York at one time and win by a popular vote to make a change on the rules, on the state rules, that is. And then they would need to then be approved by the state chair, the state committee, where they would have to have, again, more than 50% coming to place in one place, and they would have to have at least two-thirds. And that makes it very difficult for them to change the rules to try to bring it back to where it was. That was a very important thing that we had to do, and we did it. Now, we're not recognized here in New York State as the elected committeemen, but we're fighting in the courts. Like I said, we've got two lawsuits going through, and once that goes through the process, getting one in January, the other one we're working on, we should be coming up to the appellate court shortly on that one also. So as soon as we can achieve that win, and we do believe we're going to win, then we will take over both the parties in here in New York State. Now, we could talk some more. Maybe we're going to take an evening one Monday, and maybe we'll really dig deep in different parts of these things that I'm talking about, because there's so much going on. Now, we also, again, got involved, as I mentioned earlier, we got involved in the judicial process, a lot of criminal activity there. These judges, I just can't, I knew it was corrupt, but I never dreamed that it's as corrupt as it is. They think nothing of putting people in jail. They think nothing of destroying lives. They think nothing of doing these things. But anyway, we found, again, a way for the people. Our founding fathers were brilliant when they put this together. And there is a way we can take our judicial system back. And we're working on that right now in New York, and there are other people working in different states. And it's going through the common law process, which the trial courts will not recognize. But the appellate court will. And we do cases that's called court of records. And anybody who wants to get an introduction to the court of record, it's extremely, extremely powerful. And it's something everyone should learn in grammar school, and definitely high school. Everyone, when they come out of grammar school or high school, they should be able to go to court and defend themselves without a lawyer. They should know the process, and they should understand what common law is and how to run a case. It really isn't that difficult. They claim it's difficult because they hide everything and we don't know the process. So it appears difficult. We can't get in. But we figured it out. We got in, and we're teaching it. And if you go up to newyorkcommitteemen.org, and on our left side, if you click on Common Law, there's a couple of videos there. They're not too long. You'll want to watch them. But down there below those videos, we have about 50, 60, maybe more hours of common law, how common law works, the philosophy, the process, and where it comes from, the history, all kinds of information. If you click on the introduction to common law, or introduction to the court of record, I forget which one we called it. Either we called it introduction to the court of record or introduction to the common law. And there's only three audio tapes on that one. It's a total of, I think the whole thing is a 3.5-hour lecture. And that's a beautiful overview. He gives a really good overview of what a common law court is to look like and how to run a court of record, how to get into the process by running a common law, court of record. And again, one evening, one Monday, we'll talk about the common law. And again, we're going to have series of these things, and we'll see what's most interesting to the people as we go on. But anyway, with that, that's kind of an overview of what we're doing, and there is absolutely no way, and I say this very boldly, there's absolutely no way that we the people are going to take this country back and bring it back to a republic again unless we take the committeeman process, to take control of the political process. It's the only way. And when we get control of the political process, we'll have a much stronger control of the judicial process, because those judges on the trial level, they're all elected. And we will do the largest recall since the Declaration of Independence. And that's what it's going to take. So, all right, with that, I'm going to open the mic up. If anybody wants to pick up the mic, just raise your hand, and up on the top right side, I don't know what it actually says there. I think it says request to talk or something. But if you click on that, a number will pop up next to your name, and then I'll unmute you. So do we have any questions? Sticking on subject, on topic, on particularly on the committee man, the judicial process particularly. I guess I could go on talking, but I prefer questions. Anybody has a question or a comment or anything? Get some conversation going here. All right, I guess my text chat wasn't scrolling, so I'm just looking down a little bit. I do see some things out there. Yeah, okay, Carl tells us that in order to talk, it says request to talk upper right corner. Carl, I see you got the mic. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Carl. Carl, I unmuted you. You can talk. You got the mic.
John, hey, sorry about that. I had my phone on mute. That was a very good intro. A lot of information. I'm just reading some of the stuff that's going on the blog right now. And one of the things that interests me is some of Judy O'Hare mentioned Colorado uses a caucus assembly to help enforce referendums such that independents can vote in the primary and whatnot. And I'm interested in it because we all think that, I think that if independents had say in the primaries in New York, things would be a lot different. But as you would feel, John, I think until we get hold of the committees, we never get that kind of legislation or powerful tools for the public. In New York, I don't know about Colorado, it is the finance capital of the United States, and I do believe, as many others do, that the bankers are controlling New York, and a lot of the ideology, a lot of the news, a lot of the media, and they control from the federal, state, to the local level, everything that goes on in New York State. So I see it a far cry until we win these committees, until we take them over, until we win these lawsuits. I don't see anything like that happening. And I was curious, from Judy's perspective, she said that the caucus assembly, they did pass a referendum recently for passing marijuana, contentious subject as it be, but nonetheless, it received more votes than Obama. I understand it was 50,000 more votes in Colorado voted for to free up, to allow marijuana or medical marijuana. I'm not that sure about it. Maybe someone else can enlighten me. But the fact that it received more votes just shows that the public is really just disgusted with the two parties and who they put up for these elections. We've all had it, and it really does show there is a problem. We don't know where to go. We've tried everything, and I really do think the committee man process is one of the last resorts, and the only thing that's going to help it through is common law. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right, thanks, Carl. I'm going to leave you unmuted for a while if you want to continue to talk. And again, if anybody else wants to talk, just go up on the right side, top right side, click on request to talk, and you'll get a number next to your name, and we'll call on you, and we'll unmute your mic. You know, this is a very important point. Any state that does caucuses in your towns or your counties, well, they'd be doing it in towns. They do caucuses in some towns here in New York, but anybody who does the caucuses and through the process of the caucus, if they elect their committeemen through that process, then you don't have elected committeemen. You have the same problem we have. I would venture to say probably most states. I can't say that all states, but I'll bet most states have the same problem we have here in New York. So anybody that's coming in here from another state, if they want to find out whether they have the same problem that we have, and then you could duplicate what we're doing, the court case and everything, you know, you have to find the your state law, okay, the election law, and if you can get me a copy of that, I could probably go through it pretty quickly to tell you whether you have the same problem we have or not. So any state that wants to, anybody in any state that wants to do that, like I said, just get a hold of me on that. My phone number and my email address is on newyorkcommitteeman.org. Just click on contact, and you get my phone number, fax, email. So any contact information you get there for me. But if they're doing a caucus, and if a town does a caucus in order to nominate individuals in their party, that's okay, because the whole town can come together, and they know it's caucus night, and they can make their votes and see who they want to bring in, and so on and so forth, as far as nominating them. We have to have the regular election, of course, in order to elect them. Well, the same thing is the case with the New York committeemen. They have to be elected. They can't be. They're not nominated. They are elected. And they have to be elected by the people in their election district. You need to have, 5% or 10%? Carl, do you remember what it is of the people in your party? Let me think. I have about, in my election district, just under 400 people in my election district, and I had to get 20 signatures, I believe.
I thought it was 5%, and then recently I thought you kind of threw a monkey.
Yeah, it went down this year because they were we lost time, and they were redesigning the election districts or something. So I think they went down to 3%. But yeah, it is 5%.
Mentioned that. Yeah, it's 5%, but that never happened, right? The 3%.
Well, I went out and I got over 5% in mine to bring my papers in.
No, I mean the legislation to allow 3%.
Oh, I don't even know what they've done to me. No, I think they did get that through. I don't remember. But it was pretty bad this year for the elections because they didn't even know what they were doing. Nobody knew what they were doing. But the point is this. If you're elected as a committeeman at a caucus, and I know in Pennsylvania and I believe Ohio also, they all have caucuses. And if they're electing their committeemen at the caucuses, then you know that's a telltale to know that they're not really elected. It's a facade. It's a make-believe. And the only way they can control these parties and do all the things they do is if they are a private association. Otherwise, they could go to jail. You know, this is criminal activities. They're selling their vote. They're selling out the political process. But they created a system that attaches them to a private association, and it makes them that they're not liable to the law, so they get away with this. All right. Anyway, if anybody wants to pick up a question, they got a question or a comment. Again, just go up there and click on request to talk, and we'll give you the mic. You can make a comment or if you have a question. You got anything else, Carl?
Well, yeah, I'd love to let people know about a really exciting movie I've seen, documentary. I'm 46 years old, and I recently watched a documentary again that I think everybody needs to watch. It's called Thrive. You can see it at thrivemovement.com, and it explains everything that I've thought about. And
yeah, you can also see that up on newyorkcommitteeman.org. Just wanted to plug that, too. If you go up to newyorkcommitteemen.org, that's committeemen.org, and click on today's issues, and if you scroll down, you'll see Thrive. You can watch it right on our site.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I'd like to say it started with saying it's an elitist by the name of Foster Gamble and Kimberly Gamble, his lovely wife, taking on the elitists. I did a little bit of work research afterwards. He's an interesting fellow. I think he's like a lot of us on this call. He cares about, he has a lot of compassion for humanity. his money he had inherited from his parents, the Gambles, or his grandparents, the Gambles. And it took him about 10 years to make this film. And believe me, if you watch it from beginning to end, you will just be overwhelmed with the amount of information and the knowledge that you gain from this. I've since now I've followed some different paths that the movie has led me to, and I'm very interested in what's called zero-point energy, something that Nikola Tesla had started in the early 1900s and has been kept secret since then. For over 100 years, Nikola Tesla's work has been kept secret. But this movie is exposing it. It's exposing the inventions that he had done, as well as other inventors who have partook in this zero-point energy all around us, and learn how to utilize it and create machines that don't need fossil fuel, just utilize the energy around us to give us, to help us thrive, essentially. Because that's, as Foster Gamble said, that was how he started this path, is he was very interested in energy. And he kept coming into roadblocks. And as he said in the movie, it's like, well, if you can't find an end to the story, follow the money. If the story doesn't make sense, he said, follow the money. And that's what he does. He exposes who's driving the show, who's controlling these parties, who's controlling these corporations, who's pulling the strings. And he lays it out, and in his website, thrivemovement.com, he lists everything in the movie and gives you information on where you can look up the information to prove to help you see the truth of where he gathered the material. So anyway, see this movie. Please, Thrive. Pass it on. Thrivemovement.com. Watch the trailer. You can get an email. I think give him an email. You can watch it for free. Well worth it.
All right. Thanks, Carl. And again, if anybody has anything, raise your hand. Click on the request to talk, and we'll unmute you. Let me touch base on something on common law, just spend a couple of minutes on what freedom really is. If the people of this country or the people of any state really understood how they can get their judicial system back, they could do it overnight, literally. And it's just a matter of just saying no. The court systems that we have, all town courts, all municipal courts, they are admiralty courts, and they ultimately have no power whatsoever. But when you are called into that court, you get a ticket, you break one of their statutes or something, and then they call you into the court, and they do what's called an arraignment. And when they arraign you, you then are giving jurisdiction to that court to try you. If you refuse and reject arraignment, and you tell them, no, I'm not making a plea, this court doesn't have jurisdiction, and I challenge its jurisdiction, that the Supreme Court and the law of New York State, and probably most states, make it very clear, unless jurisdiction is proven, you don't have any authority over me. And they can't possibly prove jurisdiction because they simply don't have it. People have to understand what freedom really, really is. You know, if you ask someone if they're a U.S. citizen, just about everyone will say yes. Very few people will say no. Only the people who understand what's going on will say no. But when you ask if they're a U.S. citizen, they'll say yes. And if you are a U.S. citizen, then you are subject to the laws of the United States, and therefore you're subject to the laws of your states. I see someone has their hand up. I'll be with you in a minute. I'll release the mic to you. But you're subject to the laws. And you're going in under their jurisdiction. You have to be what you're supposed to be, and that is one of the people. In the Constitution, in the preamble of the Constitution, it says we the people, and it says we ordain and establish. So the people have created the government and the legislators. The people are above the legislators. The legislators cannot legislate laws. You're under common law if you understand that. The purpose of legislation, which creates statutes, they are laws and procedures for bureaucrats, not the people. They're for municipalities. They're for government agencies, bureaucrats, elected officials. It's to control them, to tell them what they can and cannot do, and also to punish them literally with jail time and other things if they break certain rules or violate certain freedoms. But again, people are called into these courts and immediately are brought right under this jurisdiction, and they don't challenge it. They'll say, do you plead guilty or innocent, or do you plead no contest? Any one of those pleas brings you under their jurisdiction. As long as you maintain your hold against these people and deny them jurisdiction and push it up the line to the next court up and the next court up, you will win your case. But and as soon as the people do it once in a town, anybody else does it in that town, that's it. They're gonna fold to the people. And if enough people get up in the town and say no, I deny you jurisdiction, so it only takes what it to happen once in your town, and maybe the town next door will hear about it, the judge over there, and you do it over there, and you'll win there too without having to go through the hassles of going up the process to the higher courts. Once you do it in your county or a couple of counties, we'll spread it throughout the entire state. But we need the pioneers to go out and do this, particularly here in New York. We need to deny them jurisdiction over us because, again, if you read very carefully the 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment was created, very, very slickly and slyly, so they claim, to free the slaves. The slaves had problems in the states. They wouldn't get justice. They weren't able to use the courts and so on and so forth. So they were able, so they created the 14th Amendment, which gave them federal powers to control those courts and force them into obedience to give liberty or the rights that a black man might ask for, and that was the reason that it was there. They tried to convince all the people back in those days to get in, to acknowledge themselves as a U.S. citizen, but the people were too wise then. They were educated, unlike us today, and they denied it and they didn't go for it. But over time, they just changed their education, changed the whatever media process they used, newspapers, opinions, ideas, especially when TV came in play, in the 1900s, that's when it really became strong. And then people don't even know what the 14th Amendment is all about. They, you go read the 14th Amendment and they call your rights privileges. You don't have rights. If you're a U.S. citizen, you have privileges. And privileges can be taken away for this reason or taken away for that reason by those who rule over you, which is the jurisdiction of the United States, which brings you even under your state government court systems. And therein is the problem. All we need to do is have knowledge of that, know that, and deny it. Now, of course, we do have to learn, and it doesn't take long. If people spend an hour a day, 5 days a week, put an hour into it, and in 6 months or so, they'll have plenty of information to be able to represent themselves and understand how this works and deny them their jurisdiction. So you have to put them under thumb. And that's what a court of record does, by the way. When we go into a court of record, we become the tribunal. We become the authority. We make the decision. We make the final judgment. And we take that power away from the judge. Yeah.
Yeah, if I may put a plug in for your website, when I introduce common law, I like to talk about the second video you have on your website, Traffic Violations, Court Procedures, Part 1 and 2. I think they are 10-minute, 15-minute video clips each, and it talks and addresses the arraignment process. And in legal terms, it explains exactly what you're talking about and why you don't want to plead. And I think it's a great intro, although, albeit a lot of terms that people may not be familiar with, but it helps put into light what is happening and why the arraignment process is the most important part of the court proceedings and why you do not want to give them jurisdiction. And this is how you do it. Now, to understand everything that they're talking about, I then say, well, it's interesting, right? Did you watch it? Yeah, like, wow. I'm like, all right, don't try to memorize everything. Go to the common law section, Introduction to Common Law, 3 hours and 31 minutes on your website. Listen to Bill Thornton. Listen to those these MP3 files, download them on your iPod, take your time with it. The amount of information that he puts there in layman's terms and helps you understand everything you just said, the 14th Amendment, why it's a blanket over our eyes, why they're not really exposing what's happening by that. He puts it in light. He makes it very easy to digest and to help you want to learn more about common law and take it on. Take on something that, I like you said earlier, I wish our schools taught this, and there's a reason why the schools are not teaching this. This is by plan. This is by design. The powers that be do not want us to learn common law. And if you listen to Bill Thornton, you listen to the intro, you will want to listen to the rest of the things he has to say. A lot of the things that he goes on in these other proceedings, a lot of it in the early ons are repetitive just because they're different. They're seminars, and he's always introduced a lot of the information in his early in the early part of the seminar, but then when you get to like 8, 9, 10 or of the seminars, you start getting into the new information and the subject matter that he's trying to alert us about. But please watch these videos. It's just remarkable what you can do if you know these legal terms, which you will then know if you listen to the common law teachings as Bill Thornton brings forward.
Yeah, right, thanks, Bob. What is that?
Yeah, that's me. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yep, go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, we spoke a couple of days ago, and I was, I hear everything we're talking about, and I'm interested in actually running for the New York Committee Man position, and I was just kind of wondering if there's anybody out there who, and I mean you as well, but if there's people that you can connect me with that can help me.
Yeah, you in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Manhattan. I'm the one that's in Harlem area.
Okay.
And seeing if someone wants to.
We have some people we can connect you with down in New York. Maybe not necessarily in Manhattan, but. You know, the surrounding boroughs there, we definitely, and
yeah.
I'm sure they can connect you with other people in Manhattan. Matter of fact, I believe I do know a couple of people in Manhattan. But right now, with all the problems they were having down there, we got a lot of Staten Islanders. We got some people from Queens, Brooklyn, a lot of Long Island people, and a few from the Bronx. And I think we do have a couple of people in Manhattan. And we want to work down there more. One of the things we do here, and again, you can get my contact information on my website. I think you know that, newyorkcommitteeman.org.
Yeah.
And if you go out there and you give me a call or send me an email, but you're better off giving me a call because sometimes I miss the email. And you can make an arrangement, and we'll come down and we'll give a presentation on the Committeeman and Common Law. We're putting together right now one presentation that presents both, and it might be a little long. It might be an hour and a half presentation, so we can present both of them. If you just want to present one of them, we could do one at a time and come back twice. But it is better to do both, I think. And then we'll tie you into all the support. If you go on to newyorkcommitteeman.org and you click on join our group, you'll be led to a meetup group called New York Committeeman. And if you join that group, you go to the membership, and you click on the membership. And you can scroll through the membership, and you'll see what counties people are in. And if when you find people in your counties, you can click on their name and send them an email and say, hey, I'm Joe, Fred, John, whatever, and I'm in your county. Maybe we can get together. Try to bring your Liberty groups together. And then, you know, give me a call. I'll come down, and we'll give a presentation.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I didn't see the meetup thing that you were talking about. But, yeah, just trying to figure out a – whatever the next steps are to actually make it happen, because I know the next one for the Democratic Party is in springtime, I think, coming up. So
right.
Trying to get
we are, as soon as we take power here in New York State, we're going to have a statewide meeting, a second one, and we're going to be discussing a lot of things, and everyone that's in New York State that wants to come is invited, anybody, and we will appoint whatever party you're in, the main parties, the parties of power is the Republican and the Democratic Party. You know, it doesn't make any sense to join any other party because they don't have any power at all with the Board of Election. They don't have a representative, they don't have a commission or nothing. It's those two parties that control everything, which is the way it is across the whole country. They've sabotaged all the other ones, so, and they already own these two. But if you come to the meeting when we call it, we'll be calling for it through New York Committeemen group. Then we will appoint you and work with you to get together with other people. And you know, there are some counties we don't have people elected. We'll appoint them, and if anybody that can become the chairman of the county, we'll appoint them chairman of the county from the state level, and we'll give them complete authority and power to do the business of their county that has to be done to get good, decent statesmen into office. And we'll work with them and help them to build it up. We're doing this together, by the way, with Democrats and Republicans together. I'd like to see the two parties eventually fuse. It would be a great circle because, you know, the Democratic-Republican Party was one party. It was called exactly that, the Democratic-Republican Party. And it was started and created by Thomas Jefferson. And he responded to the Federalist in that by creating that party. It would be great if we can fuse them together. You know, we can have meetings together. We could discuss problems together. We need to deal with all these problems we mentioned earlier. We had Agenda 21. You know, we have fraud in the voting system. We have an educational problem. We have all kinds of constitutional problems, loss of freedom. We have to get rid of the UN. We've got to kick them out of New York City. We've got to deal with the Agenda 21 problem. And so we need to do that together, Republican and Democrat together. So all these politicians know the people have finally come together and we got your number and we're going to fix things. And, you know, when we go and maybe help people to become elected in a sense by nominating them, we're helping to nominate them to get them onto a primary ticket, well, then the Democrats and the Republicans can do that, you know, privately on their own. But, you know, once we're working together and we're striving for the same goal, which ultimately is to lift back up the Constitution again, it really doesn't matter who gets elected. And when these guys get out of order, we just recall them. They'll have the threat of recall hanging over their head day in and day out. You know, they want their power. That's why they're willing to be criminals. How much easier it'll be for them to have their power and not have to be criminals, do the right thing. I think it'll be a lot easier. And if the committeemen are honest and righteous and upright, and they don't break the law, and they'll require the same of the others, you'll find all these rats and cockroaches crawling back into their dark little corners and hiding, because that's what light does in a room that's dark. And so all you have to do is come in and turn on the light. Just do the right thing and require everyone else around you to be doing the right thing. I want to tell you something. I am involved in a lot of things. And I go into towns, you know, we go up to into the court systems, whether it's a town court or it's a federal court. We see the prosecutors. We know what's going on with the committeemen. We have insiders in different various places and the committeemen. And these people openly, even in front of me, they openly break the law. They do, because no one's going to touch, they're untouchable. What are you going to do? But what will happen if the committeemen turns righteous, if the people become the committeemen and they demand a lawful process, well, now they're not going to break the law in front of you no more because now you've got the power to do something about it. So that's what this is all about. This is hugely powerful. It's the only process. This has been around since the beginning of our country. Our founding fathers put the committeemen process together the committeemen are the consentors, as spoken of in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. We are the consentors of the people. The people are the consentors, and they consent by electing one individual in their election district to go on their behalf to consent to whatever government is doing. And they're expecting you, and they don't know that they should be doing this. We have to teach them so that they know to expect us to do what the people want, and that is we want honest government. We want people doing the right thing. We don't want people creating a social environment for us. We don't need a social creation by politicians. We'll create our own social activities. We'll do what we want. You know, the guy on the left side of you, living next door to you, you know, maybe they're a very strong Christian. Maybe they want to have their children homeschooled and so on and so forth. Well, they could do whatever they want. And maybe the guy on the other side of you, maybe he wants to stick a needle in his arm. And, you know, we may go over and tell him, hey, don't do it. And he does it. But that's his business. That's freedom. When people have the freedom to do what they want and people allow it and permit it. You see, as long as we don't injure another individual and as long as we don't damage another person's property, then you can't be taken into the courts and you can't be bothered. You know, there is court case law from the Supreme Court that makes it clear that people have the right to be just left alone. And that's the right I want to exercise the most. I want to be left alone. Leave me alone. Unless I want you to bother me, leave me alone. And I'm talking to the government. Leave me alone. Talking to the IRS. Leave me alone. This stuff is so powerful. We look like, you know, time will tell for sure, but right now we're getting some success even against the IRS. And so, you know, this is powerful stuff. It's a matter of knowing what the authority is and knowing what the jurisdiction is and standing up for your rights and pushing it to the max. And there's a lot of reasons why the appellate court will rule on your side. Number one, they know if you're going up to the appellate court, there's a court of appeals above them, and then there's the federal courts above them. And the federal courts are a court of records automatically, and so are the appellate courts and the court of appeals. And so they know if they don't rule right, okay, when you push into jurisdiction, that the guy above him is going to overrule him. And first of all, they don't want to be overruled. They don't want to be the person who breaks the harmony of their case law. They don't want to be the guy to try to explain why they didn't do the right thing, because now they're open to conspiracy against your rights, which has huge, huge consequences. We are in the process right now, and we haven't been at this very long. We're in the process right now. We're suing one judge in a town court. We're putting together, hopefully, a case shortly. It's a federal case we're going to be put together. We're going to be suing two Supreme Court judges. One comes from the family court. Another one comes from the town court. I mean, from the Supreme Court. And one town court, a judge, and a prosecutor, four or five deputies, and a sheriff, which we're working together, and we're planning on filing this case hopefully soon. We also have a case, as I mentioned, we're already going up against a Supreme Court judge who just outright just breaks the law and goes along with the status quo, what's going on in his little town, and taking property away from elderly and sick people, and they've been getting away with this forever, but they're not going to get away with it no more. And those are the things we need to be doing. You know, we have these two court, these judges, Supreme Court judges in Albany, who have done nothing but break the law and prevent the people from getting access into the system. They've been doing it for 2 years. We've already signaled to one, we're going to sue them. It's just a matter of time. I haven't got time to go sue them yet. When we get through the process, we're going to go back and we're going to sue both these judges. And they think they're untouchable, but they're not. We bring them into the court system, into a court of record, and we control the system as the tribunal. They're going to pay. They're going to pay justice. So, all right. Anyway, anybody want to talk? Just press that button up there.
Gerard would like to talk, but doesn't seem to have the ability. Did you unmute?
Where is he?
Gerard 14.
Oh, he's got to go out and come in on Skype or a phone or something. He's got to call in on a phone.
He's in on Skype.
No, he's only in on the computer in the text area.
No, because he thought.
If you look, do you see his name? I don't see a phone next to his name.
Oh, so he's got to dial in through Skype.
He's got to dial in through Skype or on a phone. He's got to dial in. The room number for New York Liberty Alliance here is 124-689. It's 124-689. The phone number, yeah?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the phone number, if he looks down on the bottom of his text screen, he sees the dial-in number, the room call ID, and then whatever their PIN is, it's there also, their PIN number.
All right. He's having difficulty. A user by the name of Slislip2,
yeah.
He's asking, what does it mean by walk in your papers? So maybe you could just go over a little bit how easy it is to just petition and become a comedian, and
Yeah, in the state of New York. What state is he in? What state are you in? Maybe you can put it out there in the text, Jack.
New York, he says.
Is in New York? Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, if you want to get a walking list, you contact us. We'll get you a walking list. The walking list is a list of the people in your election district. It gives their addresses and your party. So if you're a Republican, we'll get the walking list in your election district for that party, the Republican or the Democrat. And it's generally usually less than 400 people. A lot of people may have 100, 200 people, whatever it is. And you have to get 5% of the people in your election district, in your party, you got to get their signature. So if there's 400 people, you need 20 signatures. You always want to get a couple extra. If there's 200 people, you need 10 signatures and plus a couple extra. And that's all you need to get nominated as a committeeman. Now, once you file the paperwork, and we teach this, you can go to our website. We have training videos up on our website. We also will travel to teach people. You know, you get a group together, we'll come to your county and your meeting, and we'll teach this there. But, you know, you go and you file this paper. That's your petition. It's called a designating petition. You have to fill it out properly and get your signatures. Once you file it, if there is no contest at the primary election, no contest meaning nobody else running for the same seat in your election district, then you win by default. Now, that's written in the New York State Constitution, Article 1, Section 1 tells us that if there's no contest, there needs not be. Then by statute, the legislator has to write a statute to say that if there is no contest, then they'll be deemed elected. They don't have to be put on the ballot. That was put there by the enemy. That was put out there in 1938, I believe.
John.
Yeah.
Before you go into that, a slip was asking about, you know, whether it should be a Republican or Democrat, and I agree with you. You've said before that to really make a difference, you have to be the Democratic or Republican. But I wonder if you could shed some light on how come the New York State Board of Election is, to my knowledge, just comprised really of those two parties? Or does it make up the other, like the Independents or the Constitution Party, but they just don't have no say? Why is it that that's the case? The New York State Board of Elections controls the process, the committee process at the county level, and who is it made
right.
up of?
Well, what they did is back in 1911, when the when the legislators came together and they created what's called Article 2 in election law, okay, progressives, that's what they are. When the progressives got in, and of course there was a conspiring going on, there was a conspiracy. They conspired with party bosses and also with the election boards, the commissioners. And they worked the state, conspiring this whole system and eventually turning everyone into the process they have today. But what they did in these rules is they wrote into the rules that in order for a party to have any kind of clout to the point of being able to have a commissioner and therefore an equal sitting in the Board of Election within their counties, that they have to become what's called constituted. And trust me, it's impossible for them to become constituted. None of them have ever become constituted. That requires a certain number of people within that system in order, you know, within that party and within the state in that party to hold a certain amount of seats. And no one has ever done it, and they probably will never do it. The sin is, and the problem is those parties are also controlled by party bosses. They may, you know, they've been infiltrated, just like the Democrats and the Republicans. It's just more obvious with the Democrats and the Republicans. But the sin really is that all it takes is one person to be an elected committeeman in any party, and they have the authority right there and then to go through the process, appoint anyone they want, and start building that process up, and immediately they should have power. But there are no elected people in these parties anyway. They have no power. It's a fraud. The whole thing's a fraud. And it looks good as if they're elected, but they're not. You know it's a problem, especially when they can just kick you out, because if you go against the party platform or something, they'll kick you out. They'll just throw you out. You give them a hard time, believe me, you're going to get you in the can and out you go. That's it.
So I'm sorry, Gerard. I'm trying to help Gerard. He can't get in. But didn't you say the New York State Board of Elections was created, I think, in 1973, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think it's 73. So in the 70s, yes.
And, well, then it comprised of all the parties of New York State, I assume. But today,
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. But today, who holds the reins?
Well, the Democrats and the Republicans together, and they're all, you know, the people who pull the strings of those two parties is one group. And, you know, we can give them all kinds of names.
Whether you're libertarian, whether you're independent, whether you're constitutionalist, if you want to make a difference today.
You have to become a Republican or Democrat. You know, if you don't, you just hold your nose and fill out the paper, you know. Can I tell you? I mean, you know, look at I've chosen a party. I've been in the party I'm in for quite some time. At first, I believed it. You know, what a sucker I was. And but as time came on and you got a little experience, you get a little wisdom and say, wait a second, nothing's ever changing here. What's going on here? Yeah, I'm belonging to this party so we can act as one and do something. And they're not doing anything, you know. So taxes keep going up. The quality of life keeps going down. Our freedoms keep getting eroded. Doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. Matter of fact, we've had more erosions of liberty under Republicans than we have under Democrats, believe it or not. You know, we have the Patriot Act. What a beautiful piece of paper.
Yeah.
For the government, maybe, not for us.
So what's I got to get going myself. What's in agenda for next week?
Okay, yeah, next week we'll figure out. We're gonna kind of, you know, hone in on either the you know, either common law or the committee man. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we will kind of stick on a subject. And if anybody has a suggestion what people would like to hear, maybe put it in a text chat, whether you'd like to talk maybe next time about the committee man or talk about the common law. And again, if anybody wants to pick up the mic, just go up to the top right side and click on what does it say?
Request to talk, but apparently some people are new to this and they're having difficulty getting in with Skype.
Yeah.
So we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, just so people know, in order to talk in here, you have to call in. If you have Skype where you have the ability to dial, it costs, I think, like $10 a year. And you get unlimited dialing, whatever it is. So if you have the ability to dial, you can use your Skype to dial in. Obviously, most everyone has come in on the text chat. I see some people have only come in on dial-up, and they haven't come in on the text chat. To come into the text chat, just go to talkshoe.com and then find our room. You can enter our ID number, which is 124689. Or you can put in New York NY Liberty Alliance, and you'll find us that way, and then click on Join the Room. And it'll ask you for your PIN number, which is your phone number. And you punch in your PIN number, and you'll be in the text chat area, and you'll be able to text.
I would love the people who joined today to, you know, get involved with some of the things that we talked about. Yeah, I'm excited about the things that I watched, found on your website, like I said, the introduction, if anyone has done traffic violations and got traffic tickets, you'll want to watch this video. You want to get out of these traffic tickets, a seatbelt law, speed and ticket law, watch that video. You'll understand.
If you want to drive without a license, you could learn that too.
Yeah, well, that takes a little more courage and a little more education.
Well, you also can get your name on a list. There's a process, and we'll talk about that one evening, how to get onto that list. And once you get on that list, when you get pulled over by a cop, you can keep your license because you're a free person. You can do what you want. You can participate. And the courts have ruled, again, there's so many court cases, so much case law that supports us. It's really, you know, people just don't know it. But the courts have ruled just because a person is involved in some action where there's a contract, that doesn't mean they lost their rights at all, okay? So you know, you can keep your driver's license and you can go through a process which will put you on a list. And so when you get pulled over by a cop for a speeding ticket or passing a light or something that you did, when they go back to their vehicles and, you know, they run your card, your ID, they'll get a message telling them, do not detain and do not question. And they'll come back and give you a license back and say, thank you very much, have a good day, and you're on your way.
If anyone's been pulled over by a cop, they know the nerve-wracking experience. What John is talking about, it's actually easier said than done, and I speak from my own experience. A lot of this stuff, traffic violations aside, everything else, it does require us getting involved and learning about this. And
right.
The Committee Man website is just phenomenal because it has all this information there. And you have people like John Gerard, who can't quite get in tonight, who has a lot to say and does it very eloquently. We've all been there. In fact, there's a few others that we're helping out in lawsuits, using common law proceedings. We're doing this stuff. And this is the exact kind of forum that we need. And why I mentioned Thrive, it's because we can thrive, but we all have to get in on this together. We all have to help each other out, and that's what this forum is about. I have to say, and I have to get going.
Okay, Drew. Okay, Carl. All right, well, we're going to end it. If anybody has any final question or comment, again, push that button and request to talk, and we'll give you the mic. But we're going to shut down in a few minutes. We don't want to go too long. And we will be back next Monday. We'll be back here every Monday. And we're going to really try to share with everyone as much information as we can concerning this judicial process and the political process and how we can correct it and how we, the people, can take power back. And we want to work with other states. So anybody in another state that has any concerns and they want to figure out how to do these things, we'll help them to duplicate in their state what we're doing here in New York State. And once New York goes free, I know that this is going to go across the United States like wildfire. And Jersey, Pennsylvania, Texas, California, every state. You know, once they see what we've done over here, they're going to want to duplicate it because we're going to bring the Republic back to New York. Okay, let me pass the mic. We've got someone with their hands up. Go right ahead. Is that iSlip, SL slip or something? Hey,
yeah,
if you want
to,
I can hear you. I can hear you. What's your first name and where you're from?
Oh, I'm Sharon from Columbia County.
Okay.
You answered my question. It was about just talking more about the process about walking papers, which you said you're going to possibly talk about next time, just more of the actual process, how you go about becoming a committeeman.
Right. Yeah, we're going to pick a subject, and we're going to try to stick on the subject, and hopefully people will come with questions. And, this works best as an open forum when people have questions, and then we can answer the very specific questions that people have. And often when someone asks a question, there's usually two or three or more people that have the same question, so we can really talk to a lot of people at the same time by just answering questions. But, yeah, next week we'll pick a subject matter we'll focus in on, and then we'll open up to a open forum, and we'll take it from there.
Great. Thanks for what you're doing.
Okay, anybody else want to pipe in? Click that button. If not, we'll close down for the evening, and we'll be back next Monday, Lord willing.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, I'm going to end the recording.